We are live. Welcome to Elevate Today podcast. Today I am with I was going to call you Isaiah. Isaac Martinez.
Hi, my name is Isaac Martinez. How y'all doing? Thank you for having me, Hannah.
Welcome to the podcast. This was requested in our last questionnaire.
Was it?
Yeah, I was like, interview Isaac Martinez and PTSD and trauma.
Well, that's extravagant.
Yeah, so I was like, well, this guy either knows about him or doesn't know about him and thinks that you know about PTSD.
It's probably one of my friends.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense. Well, tell us about fighting and what that has been like for you the past couple years.
Well, I've been training for about 3 years. This past October made 3 years of me training and fighting. I started off with kickboxing and boxing, so that was that was fun for a while. I did that for about 2 years, but for the last year and the past year, just made a year, I've been grappling and doing wrestling and stuff because I switched over to MMA. So I've been doing MMA for about a year now. I'm 2-1 in MMA. I had 3 fights within the last year.
Dang.
Yeah.
And okay, so I met you at Antogs, but when you got to Antogs, you already had like a whole fighting history. How did you end up reconnecting with that gym training there? And then what led you to what you were doing before?
Coach Anthony at Antogs is my uncle, and so that's family. And my cousin Anthony Figueroa Jr. and Brianna, they've been fighting ever since I was young. So when I was young, I always knew that they were fighting, but I just wasn't around to ever train with them. And but just grew up differently, far away from Gilroy and everything. I moved around a lot, but I guess it just runs in the bloodline. So I found fighting my own way. And then once I came back to California, kickboxing and boxing wasn't really booming over here like it was in Hawaii, because I moved to Hawaii for a couple of years.
So why'd you move to Hawaii?
I moved to Hawaii when I was like 15, because my mom had moved out there and I was getting into trouble out here in California. So I just ended up moving out there. And then I went to school out there, but I kept getting sent back and forth. But when I came back, when I was 21, I started trying to fight again. But then, like I said, kickboxing and boxing wasn't really going nowhere. So I had a coach that I met in Patterson, and he was like, "Oh, do you want to do MMA?" So I was like, "Sure." And then I started cross training with my Theo Anthony and my cousin Little Ant, because he was getting ready for his second pro fight. And so I was all like, okay, I'm gonna cross train with them. And he was like, all right, it's cool. But then when he seen my Instagram and everything, and I guess he seen who my cousins were and my uncle, and he was like, he called me, he's like, oh, you should just stay with your family. And I was all like, all right. And so I told my uncles, and my uncles were like, all right, let's get you ready for a fight.
And you had a gym in San Jose?
No, I didn't have a gym in San Jose. I was training in Patterson, but I was going to Gilroy for like 3 days out of the week and staying at my Theo's house to train. And then my first fight camp, I stayed with my Theo pretty much like the whole fight camp and just trained with him and my cousin. So I pretty much had a whole pro fight camp for my first fight.
Dang. And how'd you do?
I won first round knockout, 52 seconds. And after that, I just kept training. And then I went to Costa Rica for like 10 days.
Priorities. Gotta get those trips in.
Man, travel if you can. Any chance you get to travel, travel. Do not let anything stop you. But yeah, I was in Costa Rica for 10 days. I was drunk for 12 days. But we're not gonna talk about that. But so I came back, and my other Theo, he was all like, this promoter needs a fighter. Somebody pulled out of this fight. He's like, do you want to fight? It's in 4 weeks. And so all hungover with freaking alcohol in my system, I'm like, fuck it, let's do it. And he's like, all right, I'll see you at the gym Monday. So I just got to the gym Monday and I got my ass into shape. And then the dude who I was supposed to fight, he ended up pulling out. So then they found a replacement opponent for him. And then so me and this random dude who were not ever scheduled to fight just got pulled in randomly on short notice. And we're all like, oh, we need a fighter. Okay, oh, that dude doesn't want to fight no more. You still want to fight? Sure. Oh, okay, we're going to get this random dude. Damn. So they just basically just grabbed two random fighters and were like, all right, y'all want to fight? Boom. Like, wasn't even.
That's
supposed
how
to
it
happen.
Is. That's what the job promoters or the like the fight promoters do, right?
It's wild. I really feel like some of the fights, though. I'm not gonna talk about which promotions, but it's like some fights. It's like they go outside and they're like, "Hey, you want to fight real quick?" Like they just be fighting people. I'm just like, damn.
This, well, a lot of fighters like do have train, but they still have street fighting experience, and that's still enough to do good at an MMA fight.
Yeah, for the most part, I'd say so.
Why?
Experience. Street fighting experience gives you a different level of intensity. Like, I know some people, they just have that instinct, just that killer instinct. But then I know some people, they're like, they're athletes and they're not fighters. And then I know fighters, but they aren't athletes. Like, I know people that are hella good at fighting, could go far, but they don't have the athletic discipline to, like, continue the fighting lifestyle. And then I know people, they're good athletes, they're good, but it's like when they fight or they spar, or they get in the ring, it's like all they have is technique. Like, they have no aggression, they have like no heart, they break easily. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're an athlete, you're not a fighter. But I feel like fighters who have that street fighting background, it's like they know what it's like to have to survive, like what it's like to actually have somebody come at you and trying to hurt you. It's not like sparring where like the coach is gonna stop it or something. It's like okay, I gotta do something and this guy's gonna stomp me out into the concrete. Like, so I feel like once street fighters get into that controlled environment, they're like, okay, I'm a little more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the best form of MMA, like, a fighter would want to do if they wanted to actually do better on those street fights?
Like, just martial arts in general, which martial art I would recommend?
Yeah.
Boxing and Muay Thai. And I'd say wrestling, but I just say wrestling because people always try to take you down in a street fight. But I say the number one rule in a street fight is don't go to the ground. So I'd say Muay Thai because it's the art of eight limbs. Teach you how to use your hands, your elbows, your knees, and your feet. And you know how to use that Thai clinch, which is basically just like stand-up wrestling and everything. So Muay Thai is very dangerous. And then boxing, in a street fight, personally, I don't care what anybody says, avoiding the street fight is winning the street fight. So if you have to fight, if you could get off a quick 1-2-3, that's all you really need to get the fuck out of there. Like,
so. That's really true. And what about for girls? Same thing?
For girls, I think boxing and Muay Thai, but I also think that every female should do jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
Every female should do jiu-jitsu.
That's the message we promote here on Elevate, like, Today podcast.
Yes. If you have a daughter or you got a cousin, a wife, a girlfriend, whatever, yeah, try to convince them to do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, Japanese jiu-jitsu, any type of jiu-jitsu, gi, no gi, whichever. I think that is very useful for females.
Why?
I'm not going to say size doesn't matter in jiu-jitsu. Obviously, if it's like a 120 black belt versus like a 240-pound black belt, size is going to matter. But for somebody who doesn't have jiu-jitsu experience going against somebody with like high-level jiu-jitsu experience, size doesn't really matter. So a lot of girls are small, and then unfortunately there's a lot of creeps out there that try to like hold down girls and rape girls and try to do weird shit. So in that situation, like, there's a lot of positions that girls could end up in that jiu-jitsu shows you how to get out of. Like, mm-hmm. It teaches you how to choke people using their own clothes, like if you do gi. Teaches you how to get somebody off of you, teaches you how to switch to certain positions, break somebody's arm, you could do whatever, choke somebody to sleep. I feel like every female should do jiu-jitsu.
I've been feeling that way so much. Like, after I learn more stuff, I'm obsessed with it. For that sake of it, feels like it's even...
It's fun.
Yeah, it helps. A girl's strength is kind of awarded in jiu-jitsu, where you know, a guy's always going to be stronger than a girl, but girls are a lot more fast and flexible.
I know some girls that'll wrap some big guys up. I'm not gonna lie, I know a couple small girls that will wrap me up that's smaller than me, but they're higher belts.
Doesn't that throw you off?
Well, I respect the sport, so like it don't really throw me off, but I'm all like, damn, I'm like, that's why I was all like, jiu-jitsu's the shit. Because shout out to my homegirl Daisy. She trained at Ant Dog. She's a purple belt. Shout out to Daisy. Daisy go crazy. My little cousin Alexa too.
She's so strong.
Alexa's a green belt or orange belt, one of the two, I forget. But beasts. Both of them are beasts. Like, I grappled with my little cousin one time. She almost tapped me out. Like, it's just because of the fact that I'm stronger than her. I, like, muscled out of it. And I was all like, oh, yeah, I'm not grappling with you again. I'm good.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, that's why every girl, because no matter, you could be so tiny. You can be, like, 120 pounds and still do everything.
It's like Daisy. Yeah. Like, my friend Daisy, she's probably like 120 pounds, 130 pounds. She's a purple belt. And then it's like, when she grabs my leg, it's a wrap. Like, she just pulls guard, grabs my leg. I'm just all like, oh yeah, I can't do nothing now.
Yeah. It's so cool because being white belt, you have so much more to learn. You'll always have so much more to learn. And then when you learn something, you're like, I can't wait to use this.
Yeah, and you're all like, oh my God. And it's like, you don't know, you think you're getting better, and then you learn some other stuff, or you have somebody do some other stuff to you. It's like, am I even getting better? It's like you learn so much stuff, and then there's just more to learn. Like when I roll with my cousin, little Anthony, he just got his black belt within the last year, I think like maybe 5-6 months ago or something like that. But he just messes with me when we do jiu-jitsu. He just mauls me, and I'm just like, yo, like, get off of me. And then he'll just hold me, and then like he'll just be all like, do something. And I'm like, what do I do? He'll be like, figure it out. And I'm just all like, oh my, like, you don't know how helpless you are until a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt grabs you. Like, once they grab you, like boxing, kickboxing, you could get pieced up, you could like block, you could run away. Like, if somebody grabs you and you can't run, you can't push them off, like, there's been times where it's like he had my arms and legs locked down, and it's like you can't even tap. It's just like, let me go. So I'm like, no, do something. You try to move, and it's just like,
and then all of a sudden, like, something else gets stuck.
Yeah, it's all like, you roll over, now you're in a new position, now you're getting choked. Then you roll this way, now you give up your arm. Then you roll this way, now you're on your side, and you're getting smashed again. It's like,
I have so much respect for jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu's fun. Everybody should at least try it.
Yeah. And most people that, like, you don't like it the first month, too. That's the other thing.
Like it the first 3 months. Like, yeah.
And you just start to realize, okay, like, I guess I should know how to defend myself. And so you keep going, and some things you want to learn, or you just want to be consistent.
I didn't like it till I started subbing people.
Right. And that takes about 1 to 3 months.
Yeah, you're all like, I did that? you're like,
yeah. Oh, shoot. And you feel so weak after class and so beat up. But then once you get, like, a good round in, or
when you find that one person that you can go toe-to-toe with.
And they just, like, make you feel like, okay, I can keep doing this.
Yeah. Jiu-jitsu's fun. I got certain partners. It's like, you got certain partners that you could roll with. Like, you had, you just did a podcast, like, earlier today with my boy. It hasn't came out yet. But you did it with my boy Toasty. I love rolling with Toasty. Toasty is he's a different animal, like, when it comes to the mats. And it's funny because, like, he just got into the gym. So, like, well, he just started doing gi, so he's a white belt, but he's been doing no gi for like 4 years, and so he's not a white belt, like, level. And he tapped out a black belt in one of his MMA fights.
That's what he told me. I was white, like, belt. What? And I was that, like, blew my mind.
That's what I stopped caring. I was all like, I don't care what your belt is, I'm grappling with everybody.
Yeah, that's actually one of the first pieces of advice my dad gave me. He was like, just don't let the belt color get in your head. Because when there's, like, a blue belt or a purple belt, I'm like,
MMA.
You do your thing. I'm here for it.
In MMA, I was like, I'm scared to, like, go against, like, somebody, like, with a belt like that. And then I started grappling with people in that belt. It's totally different when you can punch them in the face. Mm-hmm. Like, because I spar with brown belts, black belts. And it's like, yeah, you got submissions and everything, but it's different when you're getting punched in the face trying to lock it in. And it's, somebody told me, I think it was somebody from your gym, they're all like, oh, don't worry about it when it's MMA. Just if they're a black belt, punch them in the face. They'll be a brown belt, punch them in the face again. Now they're a purple belt, punch them in the face again. They're a blue belt. And before you know it, you're punching a white belt. And I'm just like, man, that's true.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I would want to do jiu-jitsu if I could get punched.
I be seeing combat jiu-jitsu and everything. Combat jiu-jitsu is... it's like they slap people. They don't punch them. Like, it's like they're doing jiu-jitsu.
On purpose? With some,
yes, you're allowed to slap them. Like, I'll be watching. I'm like, yo, I didn't know this was part of jiu-jitsu. But it's like, I'll be seeing the reels on Instagram. It's jiu-jitsu where you could slap them. So, like, I can't punch you. I can't kick you. But, like, if we're rolling and you're about to get something, or I'm trying to get on top of you, I could just open palm you. Boom. And
what?
Then he's slapping them hard.
That's a real thing?
Yes. Like, apparently...
I wish I could ask my assistant to put it up there. Like Joe Rogan does?
I forget what kind of jujitsu it is, though, but it's like combat jujitsu or something.
I want to look it up.
Have you seen the reels of the...
The like slapping?
Random, no, the random jujitsu ones where it's like jujitsu in a car and stuff like that.
No.
Oh my, you haven't seen the videos? I should have saved one. I should have saved one to show you.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you could put it on like the wall or something. They do that on podcasts. I could do that.
That'd be dope. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like it's a thing going on where they're getting people to be in a car. So it's like we're sitting in the front seat of a car and it's like drop top so like people can see. And it's like we have our seatbelt on. I'm in the passenger seat. You're in the driver's seat. And they're like, ready, go, click. And then you got to start going. You can't get out the car. And you got to start trying to choke
each other out. And jujitsu in the car?
Yes.
Like, see, these are so realistic.
This is wild.
This is just self-defense. These are the situations you don't want to be in and you have to think of something to do. And if we're just realistic, we should always know what to do in every situation if it came to the worst.
Keep a gun in your car. I'm not doing jujitsu with nobody in the car. Keep a gun in your car.
Yeah, I'm kind of...
Why is somebody attacking you in your car?
That's true. But there's all these laws on that now. Can't do that.
The government wants us all to die anyway, so forget the law.
Yeah,
forget the law. I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
Who's the 12?
The jury.
Okay. See, these are smart people jokes that I just don't get. Who's the 6?
Whoever my homies is carrying the casket.
Okay,
interesting. Rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. Keep a gun in your car. No need to do jujitsu in the car.
But everyone still should know jujitsu. Everyone should really learn jujitsu and boxing and Muay Thai. So you can kick, punch, and defend yourself on the floor. Especially a female.
Yeah, I feel like jujitsu shouldn't be used offensively in the street, though. Wrestling, maybe. But I feel like wrestling and jujitsu should only be used defensively in the street. I feel like boxing and kickboxing is more where it's at in the street. Because if they can't get close to you, then they can't take you down. Or if they try to shoot for a takedown and you throw a knee.
So maybe the best form of self-defense is track.
She's a runner. She's a track star.
That's the conclusion. We should all start running more. That's actually my goal right now because that's just...
I can run pretty fast.
Yeah. That's like so good for you because one, it's... I actually think it is a great form of self-defense. Two, it helps your heart all the time. And if you don't run super far...
We should start practicing parkour. Parkour is dope. You can talk about running away, learn some parkour, learn how to do some front flips over benches and stuff.
Jump over a fence. Actually, these are valuable. Okay. Anyway, moving along. How was your last fight?
My last fight, I lost, but I had... It was like a weird loss because I didn't lose. But basically, me and my opponent, we connected heads. I got headbutted. It was an accidental headbutt. No hate towards him. No disrespect towards him. Things happen in the sport. But, I guess the ref didn't see it. And it looked bad, like, from the audience because it just looked like he threw a hook and then I just dropped. But then when you go back and you see the replay and everything, the hook didn't even connect. We were close and... His head, like, connected straight onto my eye. And then I fell. Everything had, like, went white for a second, but I was still in the fight. Like, what happened? And I tried to grab his leg, and then I got hit twice on the floor, and the ref stopped it. But, yeah, I was mad. I thought I got caught. But then at the end of the fight, when we went to the back, that's when my uncles had told me. They're like, we're gonna try to contest that. We're going to try to petition it so it's not a loss because you didn't get caught. You got headbutted. And then I was like, what are you talking about? And then when I checked my phone, like maybe an hour later, everybody was sending me the replay and everybody was showing me and everybody was like, you got headbutted. But my head was already swollen and I was like, damn, I was like, whatever. I was like, all right. And then took a week off. I just got back into the gym last week. And then I told him, I want to fight again. I was like, no hate towards the guy, but me and my uncles talked about it, and I was like, yeah, we need that one back, because that one, like, if he would have just beat me, like, regularly, like, if he would have knocked me out, I would have gave him that respect. Okay, you caught me, you knocked me out, but it was a headbutt. It wasn't, like, it was an accidental headbutt. It was, we don't know how things would have went, so it's like, you didn't catch me, you didn't drop me skillfully. It was literally an accident. So if you would have dropped me, if you would have dropped me skillfully, I'd let it go. Be like, oh, I got dropped. Take it. Fuck it. It's an L. But the fact that I'm all like, no, you can't beat me. Like, I would have won that. Like, that's how I feel anyway. I'm all like, nah. Because we were throwing hands in the fight. Like you were there. Had a couple other people there. They seen, like, the fight was very fast paced. Yeah. So for it to just end like that, I was all like, oh no, nah, we need all three rounds. I think me and him.
It looked like it would have been a good fight.
I'm not even gonna say that I would have put bro out in the first round or the second round because bro got action. So mm-hmm. I think me and him, we would have went all three. Mm-hmm. But hopefully we get a rematch, whether it's in the near future in amateurs or a year or two from now in the pros.
They're not talking about it having it on Daniel Compton's card at Antalks.
We're talking about it, but it all depends. I want it. My coaches want it. Compton's open to it. It just really matters what he says, what the other fighter says. So hopefully he give me my run back. But if not, it is what it is. On to the next.
If he doesn't, then are you just going to get the next soonest fight?
If he doesn't accept the fight, I still plan on fighting on the Gilroy card. So, yeah, it's not going to stop my momentum. And I still know I'm a good fighter. Things just was weird that night. Accidents happened. Mm-hmm. Could have slowed down a little bit. That's all I took from that fight. Could have just slowed down, kept my distance a little more. Could have avoided the headbutt. But live and learn.
What's your favorite thing about being a fighter?
It's not cutting weight, I'll tell you that.
Start with what it's not. Thank you.
Start with what it's not. Cutting weight, running, training. what else? Getting choked out. No, I don't like none of that. But I don't know, just the fighting part. Sparring's cool. being in the cage or in the ring, whether you're boxing, kickboxing, or you're doing full-on MMA. Just the competition. The rush, I don't know. Like, I like to stand there and go toe-to-toe with people. I like to dance around. I like to have fun. Like, I sparred, like, I shared a video earlier today on my Instagram. It was an old video that you remember being there for. That was a video of me and Daniel. Daniel sparred. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun. I like sparring with Daniel. Me and Daniel had a real competitive little spar. And I like sparring with people that are competitive but know how to keep it fun. And Daniel's definitely one of those people. And he's definitely a real talented fighter.
Do you think some people take it personally when you're fighting at practice?
My cousin take it personal. Little aunt, if you watching this, you get mad sometimes. I love you to death. I love you to death. But sometimes I'm all like, yo, I'm your cousin. Why are you hitting me like this? I'm playing around. He's pretty controlled. Most of the time. Sometimes he just wants to beat me up just because. But, nah, some people, like newer people that haven't been doing the sport that long, they take it personal. They get mad. Or people that have too much of an ego. People that got too much of an ego, like, I've seen fighters that, like, nobody in my gym is like this. I don't think anybody in my gym really has an ego. Everybody's pretty chill. Everybody's, like, knows how to go and everything.
How do you get rid of an ego?
Get beat the fuck up. Get beat the fuck up. Like, honestly, everybody thinks they're that nigga until they find out they're not that nigga.
But I thought that was gonna be some like philosophical deep moment, but that's
beat them the fuck up. That's how you get rid of somebody's ego.
That's true, because a lot of people that have like, well, that are like really cocky or just
think have never been beat up.
Yeah. And then they know.
And all the humble people that are chill and all the like all the dangerous people, like those people have been beat up in their life. That's why they're dangerous. That's why they're humble. Because like I know some humble people. I know some real humble people. Like you'll talk to them. You'll like know that they're like real humble people. They're nice. They're smart. But they're dangerous. Like straight killers, but you'll never pick up that vibe from them because they know the world is dangerous. Like if you know the world is dangerous and you know you're dangerous, like why test it? For those people that are cocky and everything, they've never experienced real danger. They've never been in bad situations. So like the people that avoid those bad situations but are still dangerous have been through something. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Some people just need to be beat up.
It's a sad way to learn.
Not if it's in an MMA gym. In the street, you get beat up. That's a bad way. I'd rather people get humbled in the gym.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like ideally, we'd want to avoid that for people. Well, I think everyone should have their kids in MMA. But if something bad were to happen at school, like, the parents are so quick to be like, everyone, like, make sure the bully stops being a bully. And it's like, yes, that should happen. But parents get involved so quickly with everything these days.
My dad, when I was growing up, I had my mom telling me one thing, I had my dad telling me other thing. My mom was like, tell the teacher. My dad was like, punch them in the fucking mouth. my mom be all like, don't tell him that. Like, he can't always tell the teacher, punch them in the fucking mouth.
He can't always tell the teacher. That's like, what I'm saying. Like, how do you find that balance?
Depends on how you grew up. Depends where you're growing up. Depends the type of person you are. Because there's sometimes where you can't avoid the situation. Some people are just hotheads and just be trying to prove themselves. Like, other people, it's like sometimes you can't avoid it. You really got to defend yourself. Like, sometimes kids in school, at least when I was in school, and like, I moved around a lot and I would have problems with other people. I noticed, like, you let one problem slide, then you got another, like, you got another problem coming. Like, so basically, like, how I took it growing up, you let this person get away with talking to you like this or treating you like this, then the next person gonna come by thinking it's sweet to talk to you like that or do some type of thing to you like that. So if you know MMA to defend yourself, defend yourself. Like, I don't think, like, personally, if I was a parent and I got a call freaking saying, oh, your kid got into a fight at school, I'm all like, how is this takedown defense? Like, freaking, like, does he know his distance? Like, is there a video? Like, did he use any leg kicks? Like, that's how I'd be, like.
That's true. No one wants to have the kid that is getting beat up, but defending
themselves. Yeah, like, I don't want to know my kid's getting beat up. Like, my dad used to get mad at me for that. Like, my dad used to be all like, I don't care if you lose, just fight. Like, so once I got to a certain age, it was all like, okay, win or lose, I'm going to fight. Like,
so that's good advice, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's good advice. It's just, you don't want it to backfire all the time.
Yeah. Like, if you can't avoid it, avoid it. That's what I'd say. If you can't avoid it, avoid it. Don't go looking for trouble. Like, because I know a lot of people, especially in Hawaii, that trained and were, like, very, very talented, very dangerous, and only used it to fight on the streets. I'm like, bruh, don't be, like, I wouldn't recommend anybody be one of those people. But, yeah.
But that's kind of cool that he has all that skill.
It's dangerous.
Oh, like, you know, don't they do things where they grab a bunch of, like, people from anywhere and give them this big fight opportunity? Like, there's this program where, like, you have this whole professional coaches and then you get an opportunity to fight another amateur or new
fighter. Ultimate Fighter?
Yes.
Yeah, the Ultimate Fighter series. Yeah, that's...
Have your Hawaiian friend go on that.
Bro, which one? Too many of them are like that.
Yeah, any of them. That would be really cool because they would just, like, get recognized super quickly.
There's a lot of talented people out there in Hawaii. I have a lot of friends out there that could actually do something. I got some friends that aren't like that, though. I know a lot of humble people out there, too. Like people out there, they're very humble and they're very loving. But they'll fuck you up if you come at them sideways. But shout out to all my boys in Hawaii, the ones that are in the gym, the ones that aren't in the gym. So shout out to all them. But yeah, one of my youngins out there, he's about to be 18 in April. Jovan, he's badass. He's a dope ass kickboxer. That kid's gonna go far. Regan, my boy Kervon Battle with Central Strikers. He's already made his pro debut. He's gonna go far in kickboxing, and he's about to have his pro boxing debut. So shout out to all the boys doing their thing down there.
Dang, why? So you were telling me that Hawaii has like a big fighting culture.
Yeah.
What was that like for you when you lived over there?
It was cool.
Why?
It was cool. It had its ups and downs. When I got out there, it was different. Everybody, like, in California growing up, like, in street fights, it was like street fights were street fights. Like, everybody was like just trying to slam people on their head, pick up weapons, jump people, do whatever. I went out to Hawaii, and when they street fight, it's like an MMA fight. It's like, I got out there, they were throwing like jabs and leg checks and everything, and like I was like, yo, this is better than UFC. I was like, I was like, what is this? And then I found out everybody out there fights. Hawaii was the first place I ever seen somebody get head kicked in a street fight. I was all like, yo, I gotta learn that shit.
Your kicks are really high.
I've been kicking people in the head since I was 15. Like, once I just got into a gym and learned how to do it like properly, it just became easy. So
you don't feel bad when you hit someone and they're not padded up?
No.
Why?
Why should I?
I don't know. I feel like it's good to, I don't know, to not cause someone harm.
In what situation? Under what circumstances?
You get in a fight, don't you want to like stop at a certain point? Like kind of like they do at a UFC fight. Mm. They stop so they don't get really bad.
In street fights, I stop when you stop fighting. Like there's been situations where I didn't stop and people had to tell me to stop, but like most of the time, like I'm like, are you done? Like just stop and I'll stop. I don't want to fight no more.
Dang, and that's just normal for Hawaii culture.
Sadly, yeah, but it's not like they're just out there like fighting all the time. Well, they kind of are, but.
But it's they like it.
It's like it's like a sport. It's like a sport. It's not like out here in California. It's like people fight for straight hatred, violence. Over there, it's a culture. Like it's a spirit. Like me and all my friends, like we'll be chilling at the beach or we'll just be chilling at somebody's house, and we'll all start sparring like in the house or in the parking lot at the beach, wherever we're at. All my friends in Hawaii, they like to spar. We all like just air spar. Or, like, if we have gloves, we'll put on gloves. Like, we all used to hit mitts with each other. Like, there's videos on my Instagram of me hitting mitts with some of my boys, like, just in the living room and stuff or in the room. Like, again, we'd all just be getting stoned, just taking dabs or just smoking hella joints and everything. And just be all like, oh, what, bro? Like, hit mitts. Yeah. And everybody just put mitts on and then just start going. It's a spirit. It's not on no hate stuff. And then even when you get into fights out there with people, a lot of times after you fight, like, they shake hands and it's, like, respect after. It's like, some of my closest friends out there I've got into fights with. Like, I've had to throw hands with some of my closest friends and it's just a respect thing after.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
See, I think that's a good thing. That seems better than whatever people do now. Like, what do people do now?
How close are you guys to your friends if you guys have never fought your friends before?
Yeah. Me and Annie fought before.
That's terrible. Yeah, but like, why?
Well, not...
I'm like, that's terrible because I've seen your hands and I've seen her kicks. So I'm like, that's terrible.
It was at Coach Murph's sparring class.
Oh, okay.
And so I didn't know what she could do. She didn't know what I could do. But then we're like face to face with gloves on. And then I just realized she's strong and she's fast. And
hella fast.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, shoot.
When I was holding mitts for her, she kicked my hand. I was like, yo. I was like, that kick came too close to my face because I held the mitt right here. And I was just like, yo, I thought you were going to hit me right now.
Yeah, we were friends for a while before I knew she could kick like that. And now I really want to learn how to do that.
Oh, she's a black belt in Taekwondo.
Mm-hmm.
She better be able to kick.
Yeah, that's the thing. My mind has been on roundhouses lately because I like how you do a roundhouse because it's a high roundhouse and it's an ant dog style roundhouse.
I have a Muay Thai style roundhouse, that's why.
Oh, it's a Muay Thai style.
Annie does a Taekwondo style roundhouse. So does my little homie from the gym, Isaiah. Isaiah has a Taekwondo background. Their kicks, they're more direct. It's more just like straight up, more snappy, more pop. You're getting more of a roundhouse. It's more whoom, like swinging through.
Then what's the one we do at Ant Dogs?
A roundhouse, like Muay Thai style kick.
But yours comes a lot higher.
I got long legs. And plus, everybody kicks different. I don't know. I try to mix my kicks so it's like kind of in between a Taekwondo kick and a Muay Thai kick. So like I lift my knee up, but like I bring it kind of straight like a Taekwondo kick, but then I flip it over like a Muay Thai kick. Mm-hmm. So it gets there fast, but it has the same power as a Muay Thai kick.
Yeah, I'm gonna work on that. That's my goal right now.
Yeah.
So what's it like when you go to Patterson?
It's home. Patterson is home to me. Yeah, Patterson, that's all I could describe Patterson, home. I moved there when I was in seventh grade. I left my sophomore year to go to Hawaii. But, yeah, it's home. It's my childhood. I was out there through high school, but like I said, I moved back and forth with there in Hawaii and San Jose too. So I was everywhere. So I was there all my freshman year, half of my sophomore year, half of my junior year, like a quarter of my senior year. So whenever I go back, it's like, it's just all love. And it's a small town, so it's like everything's walking distance. I could walk to all my homies' houses. Like, they're all close by. Everybody know where I live. I know where everybody live. It's not like San Jose where it's a mission to go kick it with your friends. Like, you got to, like, drive somewhere, or you got to go catch the bus somewhere, or the light rail. It's not like that. Patterson, I could walk from one end of Patterson to the other end of Patterson. But it's cool. Got a lot of love out there. Got a lot of friends out there. Yeah. Not friends, but I got a lot of acquaintances. Got a small group of friends. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you currently live in San Jose and Patterson.
San Jose now, mostly. I just go back to Patterson on the weekends. It's been like that for like the last year. Cause I was living in Patterson, but then when I started training with my uncles in Gilroy, I went to San Jose, cause San Jose and Gilroy is just right there. So I started staying with other family members in San Jose just so I could get to training every day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I still go back on the weekends to go see my friends and family, go see my best friend's family.
Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about me asking you about this because I forgot. But I don't know, if you're not comfortable talking about this, we don't have to talk about it. But cool. How have you been coping with things with your best friend, with your brother?
Yeah, coping with it, I don't know. Gym, coffee, and weed.
Yeah.
Haven't been drinking. Don't really, not a big fan of alcohol. Like, I drink occasionally, but, like, I try not to let it get the best of me. I try not to make it a habit. But, after I lost my best friend, it was, like, things were weird. Like, couldn't sleep, couldn't eat for a little bit, so it was just like going to the gym and stuff. But now, after like a couple months, yes, it's weird, but I just try to stay busy. I'm working, I'm training, so I just try to fit in as many training sessions as I can, and now I'm just trying to work as many hours as I can. So just trying to make money and fight.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard for you to get through that last fight with him not there?
Most definitely. Like, I was in the back, like, just tripping. Because especially this last fight, we fought at the Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium. That's where I had my first fight at. And he was at my first fight, my first MMA fight. So, like, knowing that he was there the first time and he wasn't there the second time, it was like, yeah, I was kind of a little bit of weight over my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, yeah, emotional day, kind of. I was trying to keep it together before, between weigh-ins in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew, like, yeah, I knew I could do it. I knew I could have got through it. But I kind of just went in there and fought off of emotion, fought angry. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But on to the next. He would want me to keep going, so I'm going to just keep going.
I know. It's crazy that you were training like the week that all that went down.
Yeah, that's when I met you and Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2 days after my best friend died, it was weird because the day that I met you and Daniel, I was hungover too. And I sparred with Daniel. Like, that video on my Instagram, anybody that follows my Instagram, there's only one video of me and Daniel sparring. And that video, I'm hungover as fuck. And I had just got my stitches out, too. So, if you look on my right arm, my freaking arm is wrapped up and everything. But my best friend had died. And then I didn't sleep all night the night that he died. And then, like, just straight from the night into the morning was just drinking. And then all day drinking, passed out, woke up drinking. And then I was all like, yo, I got to get to practice. I got to get to the gym. I think I didn't go to practice for, like, the first 2 days that week. I was all like, all right, I got to go to the gym. I was all like, if I don't go to the gym, I'm going to drink myself into a hole. So I was like, fuck it. I still couldn't eat or anything, so I went to the gym. And then I was just like, okay, just train. And then I sparred with Daniel and then met you, and then everything was cool. But then, yeah, after that, my uncle's, I was supposed to fight on the 29th of October, and my uncles were still getting me ready for that one, but I had to bury my best friend on the 24th, so I got pulled out of the fight on the 29th because my uncles knew that I wasn't in the right headspace to fight.
And I think that's, like, a really good call.
Yeah, and then, yeah, so when they pulled me out, I kind of just, like, started drinking a lot for a minute because I was like, fuck it, I'm not fighting. And then I hadn't, like, really taken time in the morning because I only drank for, like, a day or two. And then I did whatever I did for that day or two, and then I just went to the gym. And then I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, and I wasn't drinking or smoking that much because I had to go to the gym, so I wasn't trying to, like, be like that at the gym. So I kind of just forced myself to go, like, straight for a little bit. So then once I got the news that I wasn't fighting, I was like, fuck it. And I just started drinking hella heavy, smoking hella heavy. And, yeah, that's kind of how I started coping with it.
How did you get out of that? Like, after finding out you weren't fighting and then you could drink again and do whatever.
It was hard because I'm not a drinker. Like, when my brother was alive, he always wanted me to drink with him. And that was the thing. Like, I'm a stoner. Like, I don't like to drink. I'll drink every now and then. But he'd be like, brother, come drink with me. Brother, get drunk with me. And, like, I was like, I don't drink. I don't like to drink. I'm not a drinker. So he'd be all like, oh, bro, you a bitch, whatever. I'm all like, no, nigga, I'll beat a bitch, whatever. I'm not trying to drink. And then it's fake. And so it went from that, me being like that, to me waking up like, fuck, I need a beer. Or, like, I need a shot. Like, it was like that for, like, the first, like, couple of weeks. And then I was all like, what the fuck, this isn't me. Like, it was kind of like I woke myself up. I was all like, this isn't me. I was like, fuck, I'm about to drop my keys. But I was all like, yeah, this isn't me. I knew that I was better than that, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, fuck. And another thing is, I don't like feeling gross. Like, I felt the alcohol getting to me. I was like, I feel it in my liver. Yeah. I feel it in my stomach. I was all like, shit. And then I think it really hit me when I was all like, okay, I'm gonna try to get back into shape. Da, da, da. And I went for a run, and I got like a half mile, and I was like, oh fuck, I was dying. I went from running like 3 miles hella fast to not even being able to run a half mile.
Dang.
And then I was all like, oh yeah, I was like, no more drinking. And then, yeah, I was just like, fuck, I didn't want to be a loser. My fear was being a shoulda, woulda, coulda. Oh, he shoulda went pro. Oh, he could have made it if he stayed in the gym. Oh, you would have made it big if you did this. I don't want to be a shoulda, coulda, woulda. And one thing my brother always told me, like, when me and him was going through stuff when we was younger, and then I dropped out of school, I told him I wanted to fight. And he was all like, and he was mad at me because I dropped out of school. And he was all like, he's like, bro, he's like, you're supposed to be graduating with me. Da, 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 da. And I was like, nah, fuck that. I was all like, he's like, what are you going to do then? I was like, I want to fight. And like, nobody else believed in me when I said I wanted to fight, but he did. So I was all like, bro, I want to fight. And then I was like, I want to fight. He's like, nigga, if you're going to fight, nigga, fight. He's all like, don't bullshit. And so when I started training and everything, even when I was in Hawaii, he was hitting me up, keeping in contact with me. We always kept in touch. And then whenever I would slack off from training, like, hey, nigga, you better not just be partying out there. You better not just be going to the beach, nigga. You better be going to practice. You're out there trying to handle some shit. Da, 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 da. So, like, I'd be like, all right, you right, brother. And then I'd end up going to the gym and doing my shit. So when he died, I was going to the gym, but I was still on the bottle. I was still drinking. And I had one of my teammates from the gym, one of my gym mates, we're talking after practice, and then he's all like, look, I'm gonna tell you this because I love you. He's all like, think about it like this. He's all like, your brother, your best friend, he believed in you more than anybody, right? Yeah, he was at all your fights when you fought out here in California, right? Yeah, he's like, from what you tell me, he told everybody that you were gonna do good, even when nobody believed in you, and he always stood by you, right? And I was like, right. And he's all like, so if you let the bottle or the jugs get a hold of you and you go down that dark pit, you're making him a liar. So you want people to be like, your brother would be proud of you, your brother would be right about you, or they want to be like, that guy didn't know what he was talking about. He was crazy. I'm like, I'm not going to let people think my brother was crazy.
Dang.
So that kind of woke me up a little bit.
That's crazy. Someone said that to you after he passed, like a while after, while you're still drinking?
Yeah. One of my good friends from the gym.
That's really true. That's crazy.
Shout out to my boy Yamin. That was him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once he told me that, I was like, damn. I was like, my brother really did believe in me. He always said, like, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to be great. We always talked about it. If nobody believed in me, that nigga believed in me. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. So, rest in peace, him. Long live Angelo Santana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the power of someone believing you is so impactful. And you don't need a lot, you just need one. And, you know, even though he is gone, it's like, because you have those memories, like, those memories will never go anywhere. You'll always have someone believing in you because he always did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then after that, I can't talk about him without talking about my other homie. Last month, January 14th, about 3 months after Angelo died, my good child friend Romeo died. And all of us, we all grew up together. We all knew each other and everything. And when Angelo died, when I had first, like, got the news that, like we were looking for him and, like, things had went down that night. Basically, when I got the call that night, I called Romeo first. So Romeo came and was helping me look for Lo, trying to find out what happened with him and everything. And then we ended up finding out what happened. And then me and Rome had grew up together and everything. But then after Angelo died, me and Rome just got closer like this. And then, me and Rome, I started seeing him a lot, like, almost every time I went out to Patterson and everything. And so I started building up a bond with Rome and everything. And then I started coming around the family again because I hadn't been around them a lot since I was young. So, me and Rome started getting close and building a bond. And then, unfortunately, last month, Rome got shot and Rome died. My best friend Angelo, when he died back in September, Angelo got shot too. I'm not going to talk about the situations on how they got shot or why they got shot, but yeah, I lost both of them to gun violence. And Romeo, he was a music artist. Y'all can find him on SoundCloud, YouTube, or Apple Music and stuff like that. Foreign Rome, that was his rap name. Yeah, he go crazy. Romeo didn't get a chance to release the album, but Romeo made an album for Angelo. I still gotta get the songs from his brother. So hopefully that'll still get released soon. We made a music video for Angelo on his funeral day. So yeah, I was hoping that they were gonna put the video out before his birthday or by his birthday, but then Rome didn't even make it to February. So long live Foreign Rome and long live Angelo. So.
Dang, that's really sad.
Yeah.
That happened within...
3 months apart.
3 months?
Well, September, October, November, December, January. 4 months, 3.5 going on 4 months. And February, so it's 5 months now.
Mm-hmm.
Angelo's about to be... This month, tomorrow is Angelo's birthday. Would have been Angelo's 23rd birthday. So I'm going to the cemetery tomorrow with my peoples. But, then in a couple days, tomorrow's Tuesday, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, Friday will make 5 months without Angelo.
Dang. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
Or that was recent, but 5 months.
Yeah. We trip. Feels like time go by so slow, and then we're all like, dang, it's time's going by fast. We're like, life goes on.
Yeah.
But I still feel him with me at times. Sometimes when like I dodge situations, like when bad situations happen around me, or like if I was somewhere and I left and then a bad situation happened like right after I left, or if I was gonna go somewhere and I didn't go and a bad situation happened, I feel like that was low saving me.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you can connect with him?
Oh yeah, I feel it. Like sometimes just the shit I say or the shit I do, like I'll think about it after, I'm like, that was some low shit I just did. Like, it was some low shit I said. But it don't matter. We're in low mode all 2023.
What does that mean?
Low mode. Work hard and turn up. My man's had two jobs before he passed. Had two jobs and freaking took care of everybody that he loved. Like, even if they didn't need help or want help, he was always trying to help. And then everybody that needed help, he was helping. And then when it was time to have fun and party or turn up, then, man, low is the person you wanted to turn up with. So, work hard, party hard. That's low mode.
That's cool. I'm glad I asked. I've heard you say that multiple times. I never...
Mm-hmm. Handle your business, pretty much. Handle your business and have fun.
Mm-hmm. So, you kind of went through a lot in this past 4 or 5 months with everything going on. And, like, obviously we want to think about, like, how someone can be there for someone going through what you're going through. Like, what actually helped you in your life that, I don't know, kept you from going totally insane after losing your best friend and losing another friend?
Felt like I did go insane after losing my best friend. Honestly, the gym, being around my cousins at the gym and my uncles and them, and then just forcing myself to work out, that helped me get through it. But honestly, like, nothing really helps. Like, I'd have a good day and then just start thinking about them and then just start crying and faking. Yeah, but staying busy helped. Being around his family, being around his tia and his sister and his nana and them all the time, and his brothers and his girlfriend and everything, just being around everybody, just whenever I go back out there, having everybody just all kicking in front of his house, everybody just on the block and everything, just being around all our group of friends and people that I consider family, that's what helped us all get through it. That's how we kind of just keeping each other in check.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, yeah. And then, what else? Like I said, smoking, drinking. I was smoking and drinking a lot. That was the only thing that was really helping me. And then new groups of friends. I started hanging out with you a lot. I started hanging out with you and Annie a lot. And then I started just separating myself from Patterson more. Like, I still love my friends and everything, but once I started hanging out in Morgan Hill and San Jose and Gilroy a little bit more, then I started just being distracted, thinking about other stuff, like especially hanging out with you and Daniel and everything and Annie. You guys have different lifestyles than what I'm used to, and you guys talk about more important shit that matters. So it kind of started opening up my eyes to different things in the world. So, and I know what, like, I also know what Lo would have wanted, so kind of like I'm trying to focus on my own path right now so that I could get to what me and Lo talked about, because me and him was talking about everything we wanted like a week before he died.
Hmm. What did he want to do?
I remember Lo, he just wanted to get rich. Lo wanted to get rich and fucking travel, do hella shit, party. He wanted to get drunk all over the world. But freaking one of his goals, I remember he said, brother, I want to make so much money that whenever I leave the house, I don't want to leave the house without 5 bands. Like, that's just cash in his pocket, just spending money. He's like, I don't want to leave the house without 5 bands. I was like, brother, we're going to get there one day. We're not going to leave the house without 10 bands. And I was like, he always wanted to take care of all his brothers. He was the youngest out of all his brothers, out of his 4 brothers. Like, there's 3 of them, and then he's the 4th one. He was the youngest out of his brothers, but he always talked about how he wanted to get a house and just have all his brothers live together. He always used to be like, brother, when I get my house one day, with you, he's like, you could live with me. I was like, nigga, what if I want my own house? He's like, so you don't want to live with me, bro? I'm like, okay, I'll live with you, bro. He's all like, that's what I'm saying. He's all like, or if you get to the UFC, I can live with you. He's all like, bro, just give me like a little side house, I'll be cool. So I'm just all like, man, I'm like, I gotta get everything that we talked about. We talked about some crazy shit. We talked about our dream houses and stuff. Like I told him, I always told him, I was like, bro, my dream house is gonna be like a tree house. It's like a tree home. It's like a house that look like a house. Like this house over here, like my house, or like just a normal house, but it's gonna be in a tree.
I think you can get there.
Well, I'm gonna do it, and then I'm gonna have like a whole petting zoo at the bottom. Like I'm gonna build like a fence. It's gonna be on like some Wizard of Oz shit. You're gonna like look at my tree house, and then you're gonna look at my petting zoo, and be like, lions and tigers and bears.
You really made this up. Like this is the dream house.
This is the dream house.
I've never seen this before.
Anybody that has asked me what my dream house is, anybody that knows me knows I've been talking about getting a tree house since I was like 17, 18. I was like, when I'm rich, you'll know I made it when I have a tree.
What did you watch that made you want a tree house?
You ever watch the show Treehouse Masters?
No.
Watch the show Treehouse Masters.
What kind of show is it?
It's a reality show. They get calls from people, and normally these people are people who have big ass properties with big ass fucking sequoia trees or redwood trees or whatever. Like, who live somewhere in the forest, I don't know where. But yeah, then they called Treehouse Masters, and they're all like, "Yo, want a treehouse?" So they come through, and then they build some extravagant fucking treehouse, and then it's all like, "Yo, is this a fucking treehouse? You got a satellite dish, a staircase, like, yeah, you got like mahogany windows and shit." Like, yo, if this is a treehouse, this is what I want. I'm like, bet.
Okay, yeah, actually, I have seen those. They have vacation spots for that.
Yeah, but
in the forest.
Dad, I want that to be my house. Like, fuck a vacation spot.
In Mexico?
Yeah, I'll move to Mexico, shit. Or Costa Rica or Brazil. I'm moving out of the US for surely. That's what I talked to Lolo about. That's another thing I brought up to him. I was all like, bro, I tell everybody this. I'm gonna get rich and I'm gonna leave the country. And then I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna just chill in the country, but then whenever I get tired of the country, I'm gonna just leave and go back.
Why don't you like living in America?
That's an interesting question.
I know.
The only thing that is like, I don't know. I just know I like traveling, one, and then two, like, I don't know. I just want to travel. America's boring. I grew up here. Tired of it.
Out of everywhere you lived, what has been the least boring?
Hawaii.
Really?
Everywhere that I've lived, I've only lived in two states. I lived in Hawaii and I lived in Cali.
But you've been to seven different high schools?
Mm-hmm. That's seven different high schools.
How and why?
Okay, so I went to three schools in Patterson, California. I went to Patterson High School, whack ass Patterson High. I'll say that on this podcast. Fuck Patterson High.
No, don't do that.
Yes. I went to whack ass Patterson High School. I went to Patterson Independent Studies, which is basically homeschool. I would just go to school once a week, pick up a homework packet, go home. Because I was on probation at the time and I wasn't going to school.
Why were you on probation?
I'm not going to talk about that. It was something that me and Lolo did. So we got caught up. We got arrested. It was stupid. We were like 14. But then we went on independent studies. I went on independent studies because even though I was on probation, I wasn't going to school. And my dad was getting letters from the school, and then my PO was tripping, so my PO was already like, if you don't go to school, I'm going to just lock you up. And then I still wasn't going to school, and then my dad got a letter from the school. He's all like, I'm going to just call your PO, and then just like, he's like, that way I don't have to deal with this. And I was just like, why you got to call my PO?
How old were you?
When I'm having this conversation, I'm like 15.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but then they're like, all right, so what are you going to do? So I was like, wait, let me talk to my PO about independent studies. So I went, I had a meeting with my PO, and I was like, can I go on independent studies? It's homeschool. I explained to him what it is. He's like, yeah, I've had kids go on there before and do good. So boom, they put me on independent study. When I got on independent study, I started getting good grades. I got like all A's and B's. I think my lowest grade was like a C or something. And I think it was in math. I've always freaking hated math. But Yeah, my lowest grade was like a C, and it was in math. And then so independent studies was cool, but then because I was getting in so much trouble and I was on probation, that's why I was on independent studies. My mom, who was living in New York at the time, she moved to Hawaii, and then she was all like, oh, I'm moving to Hawaii when you get off probation. I want you to come and live in Hawaii with me so that you could start fresh. So I got off probation. I moved to Hawaii.
You didn't mind moving so much? You were like, okay.
I didn't have no choice.
I want you to.
I had a choice in the beginning, and then it went from having a choice to not having a choice. So then I was just like, damn. I didn't want to move to Hawaii at first. At first, I was like, I'm down to visit. I don't want to move because everything started going good for me at the time, like with school and home and everything. Because once I started doing good in school, everything around me was starting to get better.
Why do you think that is?
Because pretty much my dad was kind of just like, I don't care what you do. Just don't get arrested and go to school. I didn't want to get in any trouble because I was on probation, so I wasn't trying to get arrested. And then I was going to school, so I was all like, okay, I have good grades. And then I wasn't arguing with my dad, and then I was still seeing my friends when they got out of school. And then I was just chilling at home, smoking weed all day, watching movies, doing homework. life was good. Smoke weed, do homework all day, wait for my friends to get out of school, chilling. My dad would be at work all day, so it'd just be all psh. Fuck it. Just face blunts, watch movies, watch Netflix all day, do homework.
Oh my gosh. In high school?
I was a sophomore. I was a badass little kid.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, Dad.
You think your dad's going to watch this?
Fuck, he might. My dad likes podcasts.
Does he really?
Yeah.
You should have him watch it.
Man, he's probably going to laugh at me.
If he is listening, what do you want to tell him?
He's going to be like, my dad's going to tell me I'm up in that hole, but... yeah, I did a lot of stupid stuff when I was a kid, Dad, but I love you. You're an awesome dad. Yeah. Thank you for everything.
Now I wish it was live. That'd be cool. I need to do that.
Man. Wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so then after independent study, I got off probation, and my mom was like, okay, move to Hawaii with me. So I went out to Hawaii, and then I started going to Kalaheo High School. And once I started going to Kalaheo, that's when I realized Hawaii kids don't like military brats. And I wasn't even a military brat. My mom's other half was military at the time. So when I moved out there, I had to live on a military base. But there was no high school on the military base or middle school. So all the kids who went to school had to go to school off base. And local kids don't like military kids. So there's going to be some issues. So yeah, I went. People thought I was a military kid. But then you get into a couple fights, people are cool with you. Once they see you fight, they're like, okay, you fought, you're cool. Win or lose, they're like, okay, you fought.
What if you can't fight?
As long as you fight, they don't care.
But what happens if you can't fight and you don't fight over there?
It's like everybody shuns you. It's like everybody knows you. Oh, that bitch won't fight. Jeez. That motherfucker's a bitch. They won't fight. That's how it is. I think that's how it is everywhere, though. You always gotta fight. Every school that I went to, it's you can't let nobody punk you out. You gotta end up fighting. I remember when I got to Hawaii, because, I got picked on, middle school and, early high school, because I, really couldn't fight like that. And I was small. I was hella short, hella skinny. And then I started fighting a little bit, and then I moved to Hawaii. And then when I moved to Hawaii, everybody was, trying to test me because I was the new kid. And the first kid that tried to fight me, I didn't even want to fight this kid. This kid was hella big. But in my head, I was all like, fuck. I was like, of all the niggas that could have tried to fight me first, you got to try to fight me. But in my head, I'm like, fuck. If I let this nigga slide with punking me out, and the next nigga going to come and start trying to punk me out. So I just fought him. And then, yeah, I still got a scar under my eye from that fight.
Did you do all right?
I did all right. He's got a scar right here on his eyebrow. Me and him are friends to this day. That's some Hawaii shit.
See, is the same for girls? Because, I've never gotten a fight, but can you get in a big fight with a girl and then be friends after?
I don't know. That's between the females.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it, but I've also seen it go really bad, where, they don't talk anymore. I've seen it to where they just fight and they get over it, in a couple of days, and I've seen it where they fight and never talk to each other again.
Dang.
Well, guys, most of the time, depending on the situation, they just get over it. Mm-hmm. Depending on the situation.
I asked Toasty this, but what is your advice for someone that wants to do fighting but doesn't fully believe in themselves? Or doesn't, just give them advice.
You don't believe in yourself, but you want to fight. The fact that you want to fight, again, that's enough right there. Just do it. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Make yourself believe in yourself. Like, you got to tell yourself, like, I'm not that good right now, but I'm trying to get that good. And then your confidence will come, like, with the more that you fight. Like, me, the way that I seen it, like, once, like, before I even started training, like, when I used to lose, like, when we would just spar, like, with boxing gloves and shit, me and my friends, or even, like, in street fights and stuff, like, people would tell me that I, like, fight. Even if you lose, you learn something. And so, yeah, I got into a lot of spars and a lot of fights when I was younger. And then I didn't win all of them. I didn't lose all of them, but I didn't win all of them. But, yeah, so I just took it, like, experience. Like, you learn shit.
And these are, like, amateur fights?
No. Backyard sparring, front yard sparring, after school fights.
Make it sound like a coach is like, all right, we found you a fight.
We just used to spar. Like, yeah, out here in Cali, everybody used to just put on boxing gloves and spar at the park or in front of somebody's house or in the backyards. And in Hawaii, you spar everywhere. Like, I remember when I first got out there, people used to wrap shirts. Like, if you didn't have gloves, just get two pairs of shirts, wrap a shirt around one hand, wrap a shirt around another hand. And the other person gets two shirts, wrap shirts around both those hands. So you get four shirts wrapped around your hands, and then you guys spar like that.
And you've done that before?
I've done it like once or twice. Three times, maybe.
The first time, you're like, what are we first doing
time,
right
I
now?
I was like, you want me to what? I was like, you want me to do what? But then once I seen everybody else doing it, I was like, I'm not going to be the only one to not do it. Like, who wants to go?
That's so fun.
Yeah.
Was it weird for you adapting to a whole different culture when you moved over there?
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like I adapted pretty cool because I was so young. But, like, they speak pidgin out there, and when I got out there, I was not fucking with the pidgin talk.
Why?
Just because they all talk, like, if you ever hear somebody in Hawaii talk, like, if you ever hear somebody say that you're going to get licked or fucking, like, or you need lickings or that person got lickings, fucking, like, it means, like, they got beat up or they got whooped on. Again, but when I heard the term licked, I was all like, what? I was like, I got out there, I seen a fight, they were like, lick this fucker. I was like, you want him to do what? I was all like, hold up, pause. And then, like, people talking, they're all like, what, you want to get licked too? I don't want you to lick me anywhere, bro. Like, come on, bro. I was swinging like that. And then people ended up saying, no, he's gonna fuck you up. What did I do? Because I won't let you lick me? Like, no, lick means you're going to get beaten up. Oh, my bad. No, bro, I don't want to get licked. Like, oh, my
God. You got to learn quick.
And then I remember, like, everybody talking, and then freaking, I was just like, bro, I'm never going to talk like that again.
But can you?
You've heard me on the phone. I get now it's like, I can't even control it. It's like, when I'm in Cali, I'm chilling, and as soon as I call one of my boys, like, I was on the phone with my boy Taz the other night, freaking, like, oh, like, ho, sup, you fucker, long time no see ya. Like, it instantly just come out, like, so, like, once I'm on the phone, and then as soon as I get off the phone, it's like, oh, so anyway, as I was saying.
Just spoke a different language right now.
Yeah, they're all like, what? Like, yes. I don't know, it comes and goes.
That's actually really funny because I thought you were like Hawaiian or
everybody
something.
Everybody does. Everybody thinks I'm Hawaiian. I'm not Hawaiian. Right, I'm going to say this right now. I'm not Hawaiian. I'm not Tongan. I'm not Samoan. I'm not Fijian. I'm not Dominican. I'm not Puerto Rican.
But you
Rican.
Can speak pidgin.
Yes.
That's what's confusing.
I lived out there for like 6 years. I went to school out there. Had no choice. That's why the other military kids got beat up because they didn't want to learn to speak pidgin.
Refuse.
Yeah, I'm like, no, you guys talk stupid. That's why you guys are getting beat up. You gotta adapt to your surroundings.
That's true. Do you crave to go to the beach still?
Psh, not out here. Cold ass, dirty ass water out here. It's California water, got me fucked up. And I'm from here. I'm like, man.
Yeah.
But I miss the beach in Hawaii. I got certain beaches out there that I miss going to, that I hella liked going to. Mm-hmm. Like, I like going to Waimea Bay. I liked going to Kiona sometimes, and Waimanalo. Baby Mox was cool.
Cockroach. Is this all in Maui or?
Oahu.
Oahu?
I never lived in Maui. I only lived on Oahu. But, yeah, like, Cockroach Cove. Like, there's small little spots, too, that not everybody know about. I miss, like, certain waterfalls, little spots and stuff, like Mauna Willi Falls. Jackass Gingers is a cool spot to go.
Like, yeah. I should tag all of these locations down in the description.
Hercules Rock is cool. Cool-ass places to jump at. Jump off rocks, cool places to swim, cool places to fish, bunch of stuff. A lot of cool places to party. I miss just chilling out there, too. Like, not even going beach or not even, like, none of that. Just chilling with the boys. Chilling with everybody out there. Go beach or just hit mitts, chill. That's really all everybody used to do. Just work out, go beach, go hike, fish, or fucking...
Yeah.
Or drugs. That's Hawaii for you.
It's like in the islands, there's such a different, like, value of life and time. And
money don't mean shit out there.
Yeah. And when you're over there, you're like, dang, this is what, like, if you have beach time, family time, good food.
You don't care about money.
Then life is good. But here, it's like all about working. And then if you have any extra time, maybe work out and maybe cook your food.
It's a rat race. California, that's why I want to get out of California. California is kind of a trap. My dad kind of put me onto that. My dad told me, he said, son, he's like, I have a house. He's like, yeah, I have a nice house. It's cool and everything. He's like, but I work 40 hours a week and I'm on the road for 2 to 4 hours a day just trying to get to and home from work. He's all like, I have this nice ass house, but I don't got shit to show for it. I still got to fucking grind every day just so that I can stay in this motherfucker. And he's like, that's most people in California. Like, in California, you can't leave your house without spending fucking $20, $50. You can't go anywhere without spending almost $100. Yeah. In other states, fucking shit's hella fucking cheap. But then money ain't shit in other states. So that's kind of why I just want to be all like, fuck it, and just fucking stack up and leave the country. Fucking money here is a lot more. Currency here goes a long way in other countries. Mm-hmm. So, like, Mexico, Costa Rica, Brazil. I'm not going to keep talking. I don't want to put people on game because when I move there, I don't want to see none of y'all.
We all took your idea.
I don't want nobody to take my idea. I don't want to see none of y'all when I go out there.
When you talk about moving to Mexico like that, I'm like, sometimes I'm like, why you got to be so dramatic? Just make a scene and leave. But when you say it, I really think it's a great idea. Like, I wish I could do that.
Yeah, I'm like, this close to having a midlife crisis and just like just freaking calling one of my friends, be like, bro, we out to Mexico right now. Like, because I don't know any friends right now that'll be like, all right, let's go. I got like maybe one or two that'll be all like, all right, fuck it, I'm down.
Yeah,
but I know like if my brother Lo is still around, Lo would be all like, nigga, come get me. Like,
he'd be, but like, come, you know, get the me. Truth is, in every country, it isn't as good as it seems. And Andrew Tate is
proof of that. Most definitely. It's corrupted everywhere.
Yeah. And he was in Romania. He's like, I love the government. It's great here. People are good.
Mexico be taking fucking bribes. The Mexican police take bribes.
And that's why you want to go. Then you're like, all right, we could talk this out.
it's fucked up. But, like, they're getting more fucked up, especially if they know you have money. Because, whatchamacallit, I had a friend who went down there. He crossed the border. All he had was a little stizzy, a little dab pen. And then free game. It's like, the pot is like this big. And here in California, that's not shit. Any stoner that knows what a stizzy is knows it's not fucking shit. My boy got pulled over in Mexico. There was like four of them in the car. And they got pulled over. And then fucking was all like, oh, da 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 da. Fucking, oh, what's this? Found a stizzy. And that's what's all your sound. What's this? Oh, I gotcha. Da 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 da. We finna lock you up then. And it's Mexico, so they can lock you up for however long they want over that little fucking pod. And then so my friend was all like, oh, fuck. He's all like, so what's up? You want to go to jail or you want to go home? He's all like, gosh. I want to go home. He's all like, how many of y'all in the car? If we get 4 of us, I need 200 each. I'll take all y'all to jail. Olive gave it up to the cop. Cop dug out. I was like, damn. And then my dad told me another story. He said, don't ever buy weed in Mexico. He said, because weed in Mexico is fucking trash. But my dad had weed down there, and he just finished smoking, and he was driving. Cop pulls him over. Whoop whoop. Fuck, my dad's like, fuck. Right when he rolls down the window, and my dad's like, I'm more mad because it wasn't even good weed. Like, he's all like, bro, fuck yeah. And then he said, yeah, cop rolled down the window. As soon as the fucking smoke hit the cop in the face, cop got a smile, was like, I got you. And freaking my dad was like, fuck. And he's all like, oh, yep. He's all like, you want to go home or you want to go to jail?
Forget. Same line.
Yeah, my dad's all like, what you want? And then he's all like, oh, da 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 da. He's all like, my dad's like, I got $40 for you. My dad said growing up when they used to go to Mexico, that's how much it'd be to get a cop off. If we get pulled over by a cop, there's three cops pull up, $40 a cop. 40, 80, fucking 40, 1220, boom, three cops, fucking $120, $40 each, they out. But my dad's like, these cops are getting grimier. They pulled up, and my dad has a big ass truck. And the cop was like, oh, I got you. And my dad was like, all right, I got $40. I got $50. And the cop was like, nah, with a chuck like this, he's all like, I want 100. And my dad was all like,
my God.
My dad was like, oh, got 100. And then he's all like, oh, I'll take you to jail. I'll take your chuck. You'll never see this chuck again. Da, 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 da. My dad's like, I don't got 100 on me. He told my dad, what you got in the bank? My dad's like, I ain't got shit in the bank for you. Like, then he's all like, what you got in your pocket? My dad's like, I got $80. That's all I got. He's like, all right, took the $80, gave my dad back his weed, his trash-ass Mexican weed.
He gave it back, too?
Sent him on his my boy who got caught with the stizzy, he gave him his stizzy back, too.
See, that just kind of goes to show. They're not, they just want their money. No, yeah, they're just like, no, like, I'm not trying to harm
don't
you.
Don't give them a reason to pull you over, though. Fuck those fools. Like, damn. But that's why you got to go to states or countries where weed is legal. Costa Rica is legal, but it's fucked up because it's not legal to buy. Like,
what?
You could smoke it, you could have it, but you can't buy it and you can't sell it. Right? Sounds like a setup. Like, what? How am I supposed to get it? Yeah,
so see corruption already there.
Yeah.
They're going to make you think that what they're doing is good when it's actually not. Every country, it's like, oh, they're doing great. I'm like, eh, it's kind of twisted. They brainwashed you to think that that's normal.
That's why I got to travel. Find out
what. Or you need to buy an acre and grow your own food and
find out what country I'm cool with.
Yes. Very
good. In Costa Rica, I was looking up, you can buy land out there for like $60,000, $50,000. And I'm all like, damn. And then, you could grow crops out there. I fell in love with Costa Rica when I went last August, this past August. Costa Rica was hella fun. I fell in love with the landscape and everything, the vibes, just everything. I know it'd probably be different living down there, but I could fuck with it. I could fuck with the weather. I'm not a cold weather person. I like the warm weather. I like going to the beach. I like, and it's like, no matter what you eat down there, it's like healthy food. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like food in every other country is healthier than here in the United States.
It is. It literally is.
Yes. And then Costa Rica was so cheap. Me and my dad went down there. We got what was it? It was like fish, some fried rice or some type of rice that they made. And then, had a bunch of other stuff mixed with it, but it was like fat plates, and it was like the catch of the day or like the meal of the day or some shit. And me and my dad only paid like $20 for like full round meal, and it's all like, this is like the top thing on the menu too. And I'm like, god damn, like anywhere else that would have been like $40 a plate.
Dang, I want to go there. I told you that I know someone there.
That'll be lit. You should.
Yeah, but I can't.
You can. Any chance you get, take it.
Yes. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
All right. We are about that at that time.
All right.
Give a good piece of advice for someone that wants to elevate their life from what you've learned and experienced in your lifetime.
Cut off toxic people, whether it's a friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a family member. Cut off toxic people. Surround yourself with people who challenge you, and don't listen to the negativity. A lot of people are going to try to tell you that you can't do something, or a lot of people are going to try to get you to give up or discourage you, and then before you know it, they're going to be asking you how you did it. So just keep doing your thing. Stay true to yourself. Stay down till you come up.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. That was a beautiful piece of advice.
Thank you for having me, Hannah.
You are welcome. Guys, keep elevating. Have a beautiful and lovely day.